Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Lamed Vav. We have two lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Kashya de Rabbi Yosi, de Rabbi Yosi. We seem to have a contradiction between the Rabbi Yosi mentioned in our Mishnah, who tells us that we have a Suffolk Erev, it's kosher. So for instance, you place some Truma food at the Erev site, and you know that it became tummy at some point in time. But we're unsure of whether it occurred prior to Ben HaShemashes, in which case the Erev is not kosher, or it only happened after Ben HaShemashes, in which case the Erev has already been activated during Ben HaShemashes and is kosher. Rabbi Yosi tells us, Suffolk Erev kosher, and we can rely on this Erev. Now, even if you say the reason is because the entire concept of Tchumen and the Erev Tchumen is only Midraban, therefore we go to Kula. But this will be in contrast with Rabbi Yosi himself, who tells us in a Mishnah in Mikvais, if a person became Tomei Etuma Dirabanan, and he went to be Tevel in a Mikvah, and there's some Suffolk as to the kashers of his Tefillah, we don't know whether the Mikvah was kosher, he doesn't know which Mikvah he used. Rabbi Yosi tells us that due to the Suffolk, he will remain Tomei. So how is this compatible with our Mishnah? Rabbi Yosi tells us that we say Suffolk L'kula. We adopt a linear approach. Why, when it comes to Tumah, is he machmer and says this person remains Tameh when there is a Suffolk? Kasha Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yosi. Says there are three approaches. Number one, Omar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Shani Tumah. Tumah is different. Hayol v'yesh l'ikar min ha-Torah. Since it is rooted in Torah, meaning, although in this specific case, this person was only Tameh, Tumah d'Rabbanon, but the concept of Tumah, we have Tumah is min ha-Torah. So if there's a concern, if we're going to be lenient when it comes to this person's tumah, perhaps this will lead a person to be mezalzel, to negate, to neglect, not take seriously a similar situation when it involves a tumah min ha-Torah, where we're meant to be machmer because a suffolk deoraisa is meant to go to chumra. Therefore, we adopt a stringent approach even when we're speaking about a tumah d'rabbanan. Says the Gemara, if so, when it comes to Tchumen as well, Shabbos Nami Daraisi. The Gemara figures at this point that the Issa Tchumen is Minat Torah. So how can Rishi say, Suffolk Erev is Kasher? We're meant to go to Chumra when we have a Suffolk Daraisi. Says the Gemara, Kasav Rav Yosi, Tchumen Darabbanan. He holds that the concept of leaving your boundary, the whole concept of Erev Tchumen, is only Darabbanan. Therefore, we can go to Kula without any concern. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 15 lines from the top. Beginning with the words Hayil Beishla Ikim Anatur. So Gemara tells us that Tumah is unique because it is sourced in Torah. The Yesh Tumah Minatur. The concept of Tumah does exist Minatur. V'Yeshla Hachmer B'Suffolk Tfilasa. In which case, if there is a Suffolk, whether the person was Toivel from a Tumah Da'iraisa, we're meant to be Machmer, because Suffolk Da'iraisa is L'chumra. So based on that, L'Hochi Achmer Rabbanon Af B'Suffolk Tvilas, Tumah d'Rabbanan. Therefore, the Chachamim felt it was important to be machmir even when there's a Suffolk Tvila pertaining to a Tumah d'Rabbanan. Why? Deloy leisi lezilzuli. A person should not come to be mezalzel, to negate and neglect, b'Suffolk Tvilas Tumah d'Raisa. So you shouldn't come to be mezalzel when it involves a situation of a Suffolk, of a Tvila, of a Tumah d'Raisa. So because of that, the Chacham will machmir even by a Tumah d'Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Shabbos nami deraisi, atchumen paruch. The Gemara is asking, atchumen, lemeimer atchumen deraisi, kurakivim sechasoit. The Gemara figures that perhaps Rabbi Yosi holds like a rakiva, that the Issa Tchumen is deraisi. So how can he say, Suffolk Erev is kosh, but to be machmer? Oh, Mishani, the Gemara answers, Kasav Rabbi Yosi, Tchumen derabbanan. And therefore, we go, lekula, a Suffolk derabbanan lekula. Adds Rashi, Oh, Mishum deloi laisi, lezazuli, bishar sfeikus. The Melech Shabbos, Lech Lemikzer. The question is, well, we know there are other Melechis on Shabbos that are Min HaTorah. So perhaps we should apply the same reasoning of Tumah to Tchumen. Just as you just told me that you have to be Machir by the Tumah, the Rabbanan, so it shouldn't lead to leniencies when it comes to Tumah Deraisa. Likewise, you shouldn't be Makel by Tchumen, although it's the Rabbanan, because it might lead one to be Mekel when it comes to other aspects of Shabbos, like Melachis. That's Rashi Lekel and Migzah. There's no room for Exer, there's no room for concern. The Loidomu Melachis at Chumen. Melachis are classified differently than Tchumen. Tchumen is merely, don't leave your boundaries. Don't go out of the Tchum. Malachos involve creativity, creation. Doing something, making something new. That's a different, entirely different concept. Just because we're going to be maker when it comes to Tchumen, that won't lead a person to apply a kula by Malachos Zareis. Aval Tchumen is Damal Adadi, but Tchumen is all classified as one and the same, they're all very similar to each other. And if we're going to apply a leniency when it comes to Tumah Derabbanah, perhaps that will stretch into a Tumah Deraisa as well, and therefore Rabbi Yosi is Mach. That's the first approach in the Gemara to answer this stira. When it comes to the error, Rabbi Yosi is Mekel because he holds the Derabbanah. In contrast with Tumah, he is Machmer, although it's Derabbanah because it might lead to further leniencies when it comes to Tumah Deraisa. Continues the Gemara. Five lines from the top. V'boyis ema, another pshat to answer this theory. Hadi day, hadi rabbi. Rabbi Yosi himself is machmir, even by suffix drabbanon, as he tells us when it comes to the suffix tvila. Hadi rabbi. In the Mishnah, when he speaks about suffix erev kosher, he's quoting his rabbi's opinion, who holds that we can be maker by suffix drabbanon. Deikanami, the wording of the Mishnah, is also very indicative of this, that it's not his own opinion, diktani, because it says in the Mishnah, Omer B'Yosi, Avtumus, so Avtumus was his Rebbe, Avtumus, Heyed, he testified, Mishum Chamishos Kenim, Shesofik Erev Kasher, Shmamina, indeed we see from here that it wasn't Rabbi Yosi's own opinion. He was quoting his Rebbe, Avtumus, who was saying it over in the name of this Kenim, that Sofik Erev is Kasher, but he himself personally holds, he meant to be Machmer, even by a Suffolk Erev, just as he holds your Macham by a Suffolk Dvila. The third teretz, Rav Amar. Rabbi Yosi's halacha is based on Chazak. Therefore, we can easily differentiate between Erev and Tvila. Hosom, Hainu Taima de Rabbi Yosi. Do you know what Rabbi Yosi holds? When this person was Tomei and he wanted to be Tovel, and he has a Suffolk, whether or not he was Tovel, Rabbi Yosi says he maintains his Tumah status. It's because he had a chazaka that he was Tomei. Hamid the Tomei al chazkasa. Went to apply this person's chazaka and say, well, just as you were Tomei prior to your tevila attempt, let's assume that that condition maintained itself and continued. And you're still Tomei. Ve'emolei tovel. And that leads us to say, perhaps, he did not tovel in the mikvah. In contrast with the Erev, where we actually have two chazakas, two conflicting chazakas. On the one hand, we say, well, this person, up until his Erev was placed at the Erev site, was living in his home. And his tchum was around his home. So there's a chazaka, really, that a presumption that his shvisa, Shabbos residence, remains at home, unless proven otherwise, unless he relocated elsewhere. So there's a chazaka that his shvisa is really at home, not at the Erev site. On the other hand, we have a chazaka, the Erev is kosher, because he placed the Erev there, and at that point, the Erev was perfectly fine, the truma was tar, so there's a chazaka, the Erev was in good condition, continuously throughout Ben HaShemashes. Let's assume that it maintained its status, and was still fine and valid. So since we have two considerations that oppose each other, we have two chazakas, two conflicting chazakas, so since the Tchumen concept is a Derabbanan concept, so we go to Kula by Derabbanan. That explains why Rabbi Yosi holds Sarfei Erev is Kasher. But getting back to the Mikvah, we only have one Chazaka, to his detriment. He was a Tamei person until now. Why say that he was Tar? Unless proven otherwise, let's assume that his previous status of Tumah maintained itself. And therefore Rabbi Yosi holds, over there we can't go to Kula. Even though it's a Tumah Derabbanah, but there's a Chazaka that tells us that he's still Tamei. And the Tvila was in effect. Says the Gemara, Adarava, just the opposite. Hamid Mikvah Chazkasai. We had one case in the Mishnah there where there was a suffix whether the Mikvah was Kasher. So we had a Kasher Mikvah, and now we find that it's incomplete. It's missing some of the water. It doesn't have the 40 so. Now, we're not sure whether, when this person was actually tovel, this mikveh had the full amount, was filled to the brim. So there's a suffix about the mikveh. In that case, says the Gemara, we have a chazaka actually that would tell us that this person had a proper tevilah. Adrabah, habid mikveh chazkasai. We know initially this mikvah was full to the brim, had a full 40 saw, it was a kasha mikvah. Let's assume that that chazaka continued throughout this period when this person was toivel. Let's assume that it wasn't missing any water. So the case of tvila is identical to the case of erev. In this case as well, we have a chazaka that he had a proper tvila. So that's more about mikvah shalai nimdet. Actually speaking about a mikvah, which was never measured properly, meaning it was never established as containing the proper amount of water. So there was never a chazaka established to begin with. Therefore, we must discount that consideration. All we're left with is this person's chazaka. He was tamei, and there's a suffix whether or not he removed his tumah through being toivel. And since it's a suffix, whether or not the tefillah was effective, Rabbeisi says, he maintains his tumah status, relying on the chazaka. So in summary, we have three approaches to answer the kasha. The first teretz was, tumah is different because it is rooted in Torah. Second teretz was that when Rabbeisi tells us in the Mishnah, suffix erev kasher, it's the opinion of his Rebbe. And thirdly, this is Rava's approach, that Rabbi Yossi bases his opinion on chazaka. In our Mishnah, we have a chazaka to say that the erev was fine, in contrast with the person who was toivel, who actually has only a chazaka that tells us that he's tamei. Continues the Gemara. Continuing along with this thread, the Rabbi Yossi is basing his shita on chazaka. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Ketzad Omar Rabbi Yossi, Safek erev kasher. What is the example where Rabbi Yossi speaks about Safek erev kasher? Meaning that we have the erev that has a cheskas kashrus, a cheskas tahara. Says the Brisa as follows. Erev betruma. So he placed some erev material, which was truma, and it became tamid. There's an uncertainty as to when that occurred. Safek b'yom nitmis. So we have a safek whether it became tamid by day, in which case, during the ben hashmashas period, which is the activation moment of the erev, it was unsuitable, it was tamid. Perhaps it became tamei only after nightfall, in which case during ben hashmashas it was still fine. So in this case, Rabbi Yossi says the erev is kosher because we have a chazaka that this erev was fine, just as when you placed it there, it was still tar. Let's assume that status continued throughout ben hashmashas. Continues the Brisa with another example. V'chein beperis. Likewise, a person used some fruit, which was tevel. Safek b'yoyim nitknu. There's a safek whether it was mesukah, meaning the truma maser was separated from it, which rendered it edo, made it mutter. We don't know whether that happened. Mi b'yoyim while it was still day prior to ben hashmashas, in which case the erev is good. Safek mishachashech nitknu, whether they were mesukah, they were fixed ben hashmashas after nightfall, in which case the erev is invalid because during ben hashmashas this was still tevel. Tevel is unsuitable for the erev. Zehu Safek Erev Kasher. This is an example. We have two examples of Safek Erev, which is Kasher. Aval Bat Erev Bertruma. Let's say he used Truma for his Erev. And prior to placement of that Truma at the Erev site, he already knew that there was a Safek. There was some uncertainty as to the status of his Truma. Safek Torah, Safek Tmeya. Vechemia Peris. Likewise, when he used fruit, Safek Nitkenu, Safek Le Nitkenu. And he's not sure at the time of placement, whether or not they were already mesukin or not, meaning whether the truma mice is removed, making them mutter, or whether they were not yet removed. Ein ze safek erev kasher. This is not what we call a safek erev, which is kasher, because in this case, in these cases, there was no cheskas kashrus here. There was no chazaka to say, well, it's fine now, let's assume that it continued. Because when he placed the erev already then, he had a safek as to the halachic status of this produce, of this erev. And therefore, there's no cheskas erev kasher. Okay. Says the Gemara, let's analyze the first two cases of the brisa. So we had the first case where he placed some truma which was tar, then it became tamei. We're not sure when that happened, so we say, fine. The truma has a chazaka. It was tar when he placed it there. Let's assume it was tar during ben hashmashas, and therefore, it's kasher. The problem here is the second case. The brisa tells us, if he has some peris tevel, which he placed at the Erev site, he doesn't know when he actually attended to this tevel to separate the Truma and the Maestros. He doesn't know what he did by day or night. In this case, we actually have a chazaka to tell us that this Erev is no good, because when he placed it there, this thing was Asher Ba'achila. So why does the Brisa say that Rabbi Yossi would tell us Safek Erev Kasha? In that case, there's no chazaka to base it on. Says the Gemara, Maishna Truma. Why in the case of the Truma do we say Damrinan Ha made the Truma al Chaskasa? We say it's fine because let's apply the Chazak of the Truma and say, well, since it was Torah when he placed it there, Ve'ema Torah, let's assume that it continued in that state, it was Torah. We follow the Chazak. Peris Nami. Similarly, when it comes to the Peris Tevel, let's apply the Chazak and say, it's no good. Ha made Tevel Chaskasa. Let's adopt the chazak of the tevel and say, well, this fruit had a chazak that it was usher, because it was usher when he placed it there. Let's assume that status continues. Meaning, throughout Ben Hashmashes, this thing was not yet misoken. So if we follow chazak by the truma, let's follow chazak by the tevel as well and validate the erev. Says the Gemara, you're right. Let's amend the story here. Loitem, we don't say that we had a case of Safik Majoinit Knu. We used Tevel and we're not sure whether it was Mesukin, whether it was fixed up by day or not. That wasn't the case. El Ema rather say as follows. The case was that he used proper Chulim, food which was perfectly edible. The Trumas and Mice already separated. So what was the question? Safik Majoinit Nidmu. What happened was they were Nidma, meaning there was some Tevel that fell into them. We don't know when that happened. Whether it happened by day, in which case, during Ben Hashmashes, it was Asr. Safek Mishach HaSheikh Nidmu, or whether it happened only at night, in which case, during Ben Hashmashes, this food was perfectly edible, and the Erev is Kasher. So in summary, we have two cases, where basically would tell us, Safek Erev is Kasher, based on a Chazakah. Number one was the Truma, which was placed at the site, which was Tur at that moment. We'll assume it retained its Tahara status, and its Kasher. Likewise, a case of perfectly suitable fruit, which had some tevel eventually mixed into it, which makes it usr. We're not sure when that happened. Let's assume the fruit maintained its permissible status and the erev is kosher. Continues the Gemara, Boy Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Rav Huna. So he asked him the following question. Hoyu lefanav shtei kikris. So he had before him two loaves of bread. Of truma, achas tmeya, achas toira. One was tamei and totally inedible. Truma tmeya, nobody can eat, therefore you can't use it for the erev. Vachas Torah, one was Torah, and perfectly fine. Problem is, he's unsure which is which. He has two loaves, he knows one of these two is fine, one isn't. V'amar, irvu li b'Torah b'chol mokam shehi. He issues instructions, please make this Erev for me using these loaves, place it at the Erev site, and of course you're going to use the Torah one. Now we don't know which one's Torah. Okay, so wherever he is, let that be my Erev. You're going to place both loaves out at the Erev site, and the Erev should be activated by the one, which is fine, which is Torah. So here we have a situation where one of them is certainly fine. Problem is, he doesn't know which one it is. And practically speaking, he can't really access it. He can't eat it, since he doesn't know which one is Torah. Ma will be the halacha here. So we have a situation of kind of a suffix here. Because each one is a suffix, whether it's edible. Says Gemara Tiboy L'Rav Meir. The question will apply to Rav Meir Shita, who generally tells us suffix erev is pasul. Tiboy L'Rav Yosi. The question will apply according to Rav Yosi as well, who tells us suffix erev is kasher. Explains the Gemara Tiboy L'Rav Meir. The question will apply to Rav Meir. Ad kan like Amar Rav Meir Hasam. It is only there when we have a suffix by the erev of the truma, when we don't know whether it was Tamei prior to Ben Hashmashes or not. It's only over there, perhaps, that Rameh will tell us, you can't rely on that Erev. The Lekha Tahira, because there's no certainty that there's anything Tahira there. We must suspect that perhaps during Ben Hashmashes, that Truma was Tamei. In contrast to our case, Hacha, Ha'ika Tahira, over here, we have one which is certainly Tahira, one of these two is certainly fine, so perhaps according to Rameh, this Erev will be fine. Oidilmo, perhaps, conversely, Afilu Rabbi Yosi, or Afilu Rabbi Yosi, Loika Amar, even Rabbi Yosi, who generally tells us, Suffolk Erev is Kasha, that's only Loika Amar Ella Awesome. That's only in that case. Case where he placed one loaf of bread at the Erev site, it's Truma. Eventually it became Tame, he's not sure whether or not it was fine during Ben Hashmashes. It's only over there, strictly there, that Rabbi Yosi says, look, let's assume, based on the Cheskas Tahara, that loaf was perfectly fine during Ben Hashmashes. It's only over there that he says we can rely on it. Why? Because if indeed we assume that it's Torah, he knows which one it is. It's one loaf. It's perfectly edible. Let's assume things worked out fine. It was tired of the Meir Shmashes, and it was accessible and edible. In contrast to how a case of Al-Hacha, Halayadala. Certainly you know one of them is fine, but he doesn't know which one it is. So perhaps even Rabbi Yossi would agree in this case, in this type of suffix, the Erev cannot work. Amar Lei, so Rav Huna responded, yes indeed, it won't work. Bein Rabbi Yossi, Bein Rabbi Meir. According to both Shitas, it won't work because you need to have an edible Erev. But Inan Su'udah Ru'uya in Boydiyim. When you establish that Erev, it needs to be Ru'uya, an edible meal. Just because he knows that technically speaking there's something there that's edible, but he can't have access to it, that doesn't help him for his Erev. The Erev works by virtue of the fact that the person's food becomes his place of residence, it's his source of sustenance. If he can't have access to it, what good is it? Therefore, in this case, of the mixed up loaves, the Erev will not be activated. But in a sudari, we don't even lack it. We don't have it here. Continues the Gemara with another shaila. Boyimene Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rabbi asked Rav Nachman the following question. We know that an Erev of Tchumen is activated, is chal, during the Bein HaShmashes period, during that twilight zone between Friday and Shabbos, that transitional period, which has a din halachically of a suffix, of an uncertainty whether it is regarded as part of Friday or part of Shabbos. So what happens in the following case? Kikerzu, a person has this loaf and he says, this loaf of bread, hayoim choyl ulamachar kodesh. He's standing on Friday and he says, this loaf of bread today should be choyl, it shouldn't be hegdish, but tomorrow on Shabbos this should become hegdish. Now we know that something which belongs to hegdish cannot be used for the Erev. V'omar, and he said, Erev ulibazeh. He issued instructions, use this loaf of bread for my Erev. Ma, what will be the halacha? So since the Erev is meant to be activated during Bein HaShmashes, shall we say that Bein HaShmashes belongs to Friday, in which case the implementation of the Erev precedes the arrival of the Hegdish, which only comes tomorrow, only comes on Shabbos, after nightfall. And therefore the Erev is fine. Or shall we say that perhaps Bein HaShmashes is classified, is regarded like Shabbos, like tomorrow, in which case the Erev can't work because once Shabbos comes, the Kedusha arrives on this loaf of bread and it's unsuitable for Erev. So what's the halacha? Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman responded, Eruv Erev, it works. The Gemara assumes that Rav Nachman is adopting a lenient approach. Let's assume that the Bein HaShmashes, which is a suffix whether it's Yom or Laila, suffix whether it's Friday or Shabbos. Let's assume in this case, Bein HaShmashes is considered to be Friday, in which case the Erev, which is Chal, which is implemented during Bein HaShmashes, precedes the Hegdish of the loaf, which only comes after nightfall, and therefore the Erev works. Okay, what about the next case? Hayoim Kodesh L'mocha Chol. He has this loaf of bread, and he says, today Friday, this loaf should be Hegdish, and therefore it's unsuitable for the Erev. U'l'mocha Chol. However, tomorrow, on Shabbos, it should become Chulin. It should The Kedusha should transfer to some money that I have at home, and this loaf of bread should no longer be Hegdish, in which case it can be used for the Erev. V'omar Erev ulibazeh, and he issued instructions, use this loaf of bread for my Erev. Ma, what is the halacha here? So today, on Friday, it was Hegdish. Tomorrow, the Hegdish will be removed. The question is, the Erev is meant to be Chal Bein HaShmashes. Shall we say that the loaf of bread was still Hegdish during Bein HaShmashes, because Bein HaShmashes still belongs to Friday, in which case the Erev can't use this loaf of bread? Or shall we say that the Erev, which is Chal during Bein HaShmashes, can work because Bein HaShmashes belongs to tomorrow, in which case the Kedusha has been removed? Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman responded in this case, Eini Ruva Erev, it doesn't work. Because during the time Bein HaShmashes, this loaf of bread is still Kodesh. Says the Gemara, so Rava asked him, Maishna, what's the difference between one case and the other? Rava assumed that Rav Nachman was basing his verdict on the concept of suffix. Bein HaShmashes is a suffix whether day or night. And in the first case, he assumed that the Bein HaShmashes could be regarded as day. And therefore, when the Erev is Chal during that Bein HaShmashes, it precedes Shabbos. It precedes the Kedusha's arrival, the Kedusha on that loaf of bread. And therefore it works. So he adopts a lenient approach. He says, well, Ben Hashmash is this Friday. So Rebbe wanted to know, if you adopt a lenient approach, you say, Misafik, it works. So why in the second case, don't you say the same thing? Let's say, Ben Hashmash is regarded like Shabbos. So although the loaf of bread today is Kodesh, but on Shabbos, it's not Kodesh any longer. So the Erev, which is meant to be activated during Ben Hashmash, which in this case will regard like part of Shabbos, at that point, the loaf of bread was no longer Hegdish. So if you're going Likula, you're saying like Suffolk Erev is Kasher. So what's the difference between both cases? In both cases, we should work things out in a manner that the Erev is valid. Omar Lay, Sir Nachum responded, L'chisechol akura de milcha. I'll explain this to you. If you go eat a large amount, a kur of salt, So I saw Rav Lezer by Shaharos, he says, what he meant to say is, when you eat this large amount of salt, salt is meant to make food tasty. When you eat this large amount of salt, you'll be able to, you have the ability to delve into the proper, you have the proper taste and proper understanding of this halacha. So it was in a joking manner. In any case, he proceeded to tell him the actual reason. He says, look, it's not a point of suffix here. The reason why I differentiated between both cases was that definitively, it was a definitive verdict. In one case, the Erev works. In one case, it doesn't. So he proceeded to explain to him, Hayoim choy lomacha kodesh. In the first case, where today, Friday, this loaf of bread was choy, and only tomorrow was going to become hegdish. In that case, I maintain the Erev, which happens during Ben Hashmashes, can work. Why? Because at that point, the loaf of bread is not yet hegdish. Why not? Misfeka? This person has no intent to bring about Kedusha on this loaf of bread during that point of Ben Hashmashes, which is a period of uncertainty. He wants to do things outright, definitive, clear cut. So his intention initially when he made this thing Kodesh was that the Kedusha should only arrive after that period of uncertainty, after the Ben Hashmashes period. So therefore the Erev precedes it and can use this loaf of bread for the Erev. It's perfectly fine. In contrast to the next case, Hayoim Kodesh Lomacha Chol, when he said today this loaf should be Kodesh and tomorrow on Shabbos should be Chulin, in that case you cannot use it for the Erev. Misveika Lo Yipokal Kedusha Seminei. Misafi, you can't just remove the Kedusha. You can't say, well, during the point of Ben Hashmashes, which is a period of uncertainty, let's assume this loaf is no longer Kodesh, because the Kedusha is meant to be removed after Friday. You can't do that, because there's a chazaka here. This loaf of bread today was Kodesh. You can't go and just remove it without knowing with certainty the day is over. So this Kedusha maintains itself throughout Ben Hashmashes and therefore cannot be used for the Erev. So it wasn't an account of Safek Erev Lekula, some sort of lenient approach. Rather, each case had its own unique reasoning to explain why one is Mutter, one is Asa. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, in Tvulyay. Login Tvulyay. Login is this pitcher. The Rimal Kitzedek says the reason why it's called Login because it contained a log amount. So this pitcher was a Tvulyay, meaning it became Tame, and then he was Tvulyay. But nightfall has not yet arrived. It didn't have hair of Shemesh. In which case, it's regarded like a Sheni Latuma. So it can be used for Chulin, for Maaser Risha, but not for Truma. It would make a Tame. So what do you do with this pitcher? He filled it with wine from a chavis, from a barrel which contained maaser rishon, which was the portion given to the levi, but it was tevel, meaning the truma of that maaser was not yet removed. The truma's maaser, meant for the kohen, was not yet separated. This maaser at this point is asur b'achila. So he filled up this pitcher with this maaser tevel. So far, so good, because the maaser doesn't become tamei through this pitcher. For Omar, he said, "Ha'areza trumas masa, l'ksha tachshach." I would like that the content of this pitcher, this wine, should actually become truma, trumas masa, the truma for the rest of the masa in that barrel. But when? Only during nightfall. Shatachshach, if it gets dark. In which case, it'll be fine because the pitcher will have already arrived at its proper tahara, hair of shemesh, after nightfall. In which case, it won't be matama, the truma therein. So both things happen simultaneously. Nightfall brings about tahara for this pitcher, and it makes the content truma. Dvarav kayamin, it's perfectly fine. It works. However, if he added another element here, Vim Amar irvuli bezeh, he issued instructions. Use this for my erev. Well, Yamar Klum. Then it doesn't work. The Erev, as we just mentioned, is meant to be take effect during Bein HaShemashes. At that point, the food therein, this wine is still Tevel. It's still Masa Rishon, because the Truma only takes effect when? Kshetechshach. At nightfall, when it gets dark, after Bein HaShemashes. So this wine is Asur Ba'achila, cannot be used for the Erev, and therefore the Erev is ineffective. Amar Rav, Zoysa Meres, apparently we learn from here, Seif Hayim Kein Erev. So we mentioned Bein HaShemashes is that transitional period, that transfer between day and night. Now there are two portions to that Bein HaShemashes. There's the first part where the day transitions into that uncertain period, into that Bein HaShemashes. That's called Seif Hayim, where the Bein HaShemashes comes into contact, attaches itself to the end portion of that day. In this case, it's Friday. We have the latter portion of the Bein HaShemashes. Meaning, we know sometimes throughout the Bein HaShemashes, there will be that transitioning from Friday to Shabbos. We just don't know when within that period. We're uncertain as to the exact moment of that transition. But whenever it is, that's called the last part of the Bein HaShemashes, which leads into the next day. That's called Tchilas Hayom. Says Rav, apparently, the fact that he cannot use this wine for the Erev proves to us one thing. At which point the Bein HaShemashes activates the Erev? It's the first portion of the Bein HaShemashes, where the Friday transitions into that twilight zone. Seif Hayom Kain Erev. It's only then, at the beginning of Bein HaShemashes, that the Erev is activated. That explains why it doesn't work. Why? Because if you would suggest, you propose that it's the second portion of the Bein HaShemashes, meaning where the Bein HaShemashes transitions into Shabbos. It's called the Tchilas Hayom. If it's at that moment that the Erev is activated, so why doesn't it work in this case? That moment is the very same moment that nightfall arrives, that the pitcher becomes tar, that the truma comes into effect and it becomes motor. So in that case, if he issued instructions, use this wine for my Erev, Amar Lama Klum, why didn't he say anything? Why don't we listen to him? Apparently, the Erev is meant to be implemented at the first portion of Bein HaShemashes, where Friday reaches into that Bein HaShemashes, that subject period. And that's still prior to the arrival of the Truma status to this wine. That only happens later, when the Bein HaShemashes transitions into Shabbos. Amar HaPapa, not necessarily. Afilu Teima Tchilas Hayom Kein Erev. Even if you say that's the last portion of Bein HaShemashes, when the Erev is implemented, the Tchilas Hayom, meaning when Bein HaShemashes transitions into Shabbos. Even if that's the case, it still won't work in this case. Why? Because we don't really know when that happens. It's sometime during the Bein HaShemashes. Now, although technically speaking, when that Erev is activated, whatever that moment is, that transitional moment between the Bein HaShemashes and Shabbos, whenever that is, the Erev is activated and the Truma is activated and everything's fine and dandy. This food is totally accessible and edible. But since you personally don't even know, you don't know definitively, you can't point a finger and say, well, at this moment I could drink this wine, because it's unknown when that moment happens, it can't be used for the Erev. The point of the Erev is it's your food, it's your sustenance. It needs to be perfectly edible and accessible at the very moment that Erev is activated, is chal. As opposed to this case, where you don't know when that moment comes. Therefore, it won't work. So Rav Papa tells us, even if you'll say that technically speaking, everything happens simultaneously. The Erev is activated at the last portion of the Bein HaShemashes, together with the Truma. It still can't be used. Why? In this case, we require that the food should be edible prior to Bein HaShemashes. So you can point a finger at it and say, look, now it's edible. It's accessible. It's proper material for the Erev. But if you wait until the Bein HaShemashes period to render this food edible, it can't be used for the Erev because you don't know definitively at what moment that's going to happen. So practically speaking, you have to wait until after Bein HaShemashes to eat it or to drink the wine. So since at the moment of activation, you don't have access to the food, it will not work for the Erev. So in summary, let's make a quick review of the last couple of pieces of Gemara. We began with a stira between Rabbi Yosi, who tells us in the Mishnah that Sufik Erev is kosher, and Rabbi Yosi, who tells us Sufik Tvila is Tumah. The Gemara gives us three answers. Either because Tumah has an Iker Min HaTorah, we have some examples of Tumah Min HaTorah, and therefore we can't be lenient when it comes to Tumah, for it might lead one to be lenient when it comes to Tumah Min HaTorah as well. So we must be Machmer even by Tumah Darabonah. Another approach is Rabbi Yosi himself is Machmer. In the Mishnah, he was quoting his Rebbe, who held that by the Safek Darabonah, by Safek Erev, we can be Mekel. The third approach of Rava was, we follow Chazakos. So when it comes to the Erev, we have a Cheskas, Kashrus on that Erev, we assume that Truma continued and maintained its Tahara status, just as it was Tahara when he placed it there, as opposed to the person who was Tevel, who was Tame initially. Let's assume that Cheskas Tuma continues. The Gemara tells us that Rav Yosi's halacha is based on chazaka, and therefore, if you have truma which was tahor prior to his placement, we assume that that tahara continued. We have chulin which are mutter, and the suffix as to whether some tevel got mixed in. Let's assume the chulin maintained its permissible status, and therefore the suffix erev is kosher. Moshe speaks about a case where you have two loaves of truma, one was tamei, one was tahor. We say that can't be used for the erev because we need a proper suda, something which is edible. And in this case, he can't pinpoint to the one that's edible, and therefore it's unsuitable. Rav Nachman tells us, in the case where he has a loaf of bread, he says, today it's choyl, and tomorrow it's kodesh. It works. Because the kedusha only arrives after the point of ben hashmashes, after when the air was already activated. But in the case where he says, today it's kodesh, and tomorrow it's choyl, that doesn't work because the kedusha can't just leave misafik. It needs to stick around until after ben hashmashes, and then it's too late for the air. We learned that if a person has this login tvulyam, this pitcher that contains wine, which is currently maserishin, which will turn into truma when it turns night, he can't use that for the erev. We have two reasons. Rava tells us because the erev is meant to be chal, to be activated during the first portion of ben hashmashes, which is still prior to this wine turning into truma, in which case it's inedible and unsuitable. Rav Papa tells us, generally speaking, the suda needs to be roi. The food of the Erev needs to be accessible and edible at that point of activation, which we don't have in this case because this person is unaware as to the exact moment when this wine will become a mutter. Continues the Mishnah, Masna Adam al-Ruvoy. One has the ability to stipulate a condition with regards to his Erev Tchumen. What does that mean? Says Rashi, two lines from the top. Masnisen Masna Adam al-Ruvoy. He places a double Erev, one on either side of the city. Maniach Adam Shnei Eruvim, Echad L'Soif Alpayim L'Mizrach Beisai, one situated 2,000 Amos from the Mizrach of his home, meaning towards the east of his home. Ve'echad L'Soif Alpayim Amos L'Marav Beisai, the other one is situated 2,000 Amos to the west. So he has an Erev on the east side of his home and another one on the west side of his home. He covered all the bases. How could he use two Erevs? The Erev creates your Makam Shvisa, your Shabbos residence. You only have one Shabbos residence. Explains the Mishnah. Masna Adam al-Ruvoy. So five lines from the top. Masna al-Ruvoy v'Omer. It says as follows. Surely I'm only going to use one of those Erevs. But I'm unsure which one I really need. So he places one on either side of the city and he says like this. Imbo nocha min ha-mizrach. If the goyim come from the Mizrach side and have to evade the goyim, get away from them. In which case, I'd like to run towards Marav, a Ruvila Marav, and the Erev that I place on the Marav side should be activated. Mina Marav, but if the goyim came from the Marav, a Ruvila Mizrach, then my Erev to the Mizrach should be the one that's activated. In both Lakan and Lakan, they come from both directions. Then I'll decide, I'll pick my choice. L'makom she'eretz eloich, I'll go in the direction that I choose to. So I'll decide which one should be my Erev. Loi bo loi lekan loi lekan. If the goyim don't arrive from any direction, in which case, I don't need the Erev. Hareini kibnei iri. Then none of the Erevs should be activated. Let's discount the entire process. I'd like to be just like the other members of my city, in which case I can walk 2,000 amos in any direction of this city. We have another example with a chacham, on a positive note. Imba chacham min ha-mizrach, Erev le-mizrach. So again, this fellow placed a double Erev, one to the Mizrach, one to Marav, and he says, if the Chacham will arrive from the Mizrach, which case I want to go greet him, see him, and learn from him. Eruv lemizrach, the eruv that I place to the mizrach should be activated. Min ha-marav, he comes to the marav side. Eruv lemarav, I want the marav eruv to work, so I can go at a great distance to go meet the rav. Ba lekan lekan, if two chachamim arrive, one from either direction, then I'll decide which eruv I'd like to activate, which one I'd like to use. L'makom she'eretz eilech, I'll go in the direction which I choose. Lo lekan lekan, if no chacham arrives, in which case I don't need the eruv. Hareinu k'ne'iri, let me just be like the other members of my city, and none of the two eruvs should be activated. Rabbi Da'imer, im hayu echad men rabbi, this is referring to the case where two chacham arrived, one from either direction. Says Rabbi Yudi, meant to know if one of them was his rebbe. He's meant to go to his Rebbe. We assume that that is the one which he really wanted to use. The one, the direction in which his Rebbe came. If both of them were his Rebbeim, certainly in that case, he can pick his choice, decide which direction he'd like to go. Continues the Gemara. He asked Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak came, he had a brisa. Tani ifcha kula masnisa. He had a brisa which switched around Kula Masnissen, the entire Mishnah. So in our Mishnah we discussed him evading the going, running away in the other direction. Rabbi Yitzchak's Braisa described this person greeting, going towards the Goyim. The Mishnah described him going towards the Chacham. Rabbi Yitzchak had a Braisa describing him evading the Chacham. We have a Kasha. Kasha Nachram HaNachram. We have a Kasha from the two Nachrams. Is he going towards them or running away? Kasha Chacham HaChacham. We have a Kasha from the two cases of Chacham. Now Mishnah, he's going towards the Chacham. In Kasha Rabbi Yitzchak's case, where he's running away. What's the pshat? Says in one Nachram HaNachram like Kasha, the answer is like this. It depends what type of Nachram. Ha Bepar HaGavana. Our Mishnah is speaking about the tax collectors, which he's trying to evade. And therefore, he's running in the other direction. Ha Bemari Demasa. Rabbi Yitzchak is speaking about governors, officials of the town, in which case he'd like to go greet them and meet them and discuss his communal affairs. Chacham Chacham LeKasha, the apparent Kasha between both cases of Chacham is not difficult. Between our Mishnah, which describes this person going towards the Chacham, and Rabbi Yitzchak described him going away from the Chacham, the answer is like this. Depends what type of Chacham we're speaking about. Haba Moisit Pirki. Our Mishnah is speaking about a Chacham who's coming to offer a drasha. So he'd like to go towards that Chacham. Haba Mikishma. As opposed to Rabbi Yitzchak, who was describing a Chacham who was coming to teach the small children how to daven. Meaning that he was faced with a choice. From one direction, he had a Chacham who was coming to teach the small children how to daven. From the other direction, he had a Chacham who was coming to offer a drasha. So certainly he's attracted. He prefers going to listen to the drasha. That's all Rabbi Yitzchak meant. He's going to activate the Erev to allow him to go towards the Chacham offering the drasha and away from the direction of the other Chacham who's teaching the small children how to daven. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Da'imer, im hoye echem hem rabbi. So if there was a Chacham arriving from either direction, and one of them happened to be his Rebbe, says Rabbi Yuda, that Erev is going to be activated because he's meant to go to his Rebbe. And that's what he had in mind. But the Chacham don't agree. V'rabbanan, they hold, not necessarily. Zimnin, d'nichle b'chavri. Perhaps, occasionally, he prefers going to listen to his colleague. Tfemi Rabbi, better than his Rebbe. He's like a new approach, a new angle on things. So how do you know that he'll insist on going to his Rebbe, that's the air that's meant to be activated? Perhaps he prefers going to listen to a different drasha. You can't be sure which one is the proper air, and we leave it up to him. Omar Rav, lesa lemasnisen midetoni ayi. Our Mishnah, which tells us that according to Abuda, a person had two chachamim arriving from two directions. He can pick his choice and decide on Shabbos which one, which direction, which rav, which chacham he'd like to go listen to. And retroactively, that eruv will be activated retroactively from Bein HaShemashes. Says Rav, this halacha in the Mishnah, which tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can apply the concept of breira. You can figure things out, verify things later on, and have it be implemented retroactively, it's not reliable. We can rely on this mission. Midatani Ayah, because Ayah, the name of a Chacham, he taught us a Braisa, which tells us that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the concept of Bray. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 22 lines from the bottom. Says Rashi, lesser lamas nisin. We must discount our Mishnah. Which portion of our Mishnah? The Ktani, the Rabbi Yudah. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yudah, how you shneim rabbeisav? If two chacham arrive from either side of the city, and they were both his rabbis, then he can decide and choose in which direction he'd like to go. Alma apparently is lay the Rabbi Yudah Breira. Apparently Rabbi Yudah employs and agrees with the concept of Breira, meaning that one has the ability to verify things now and have that applied retroactively to a process that has already begun yesterday. Why? D'ha Eruv may ask Mokana. When was this Eruv activated? Yesterday, during Ben Hashmoshes. The Ihu Hashtahu the Kabarle. And he's only making his decision now, tomorrow. Vamrinan, nevertheless we say, Hover Hadover, it's been verified the Me'as Moel Nami, Daiti Layava, that from yesterday, this was his intent. Meaning, the Eruv that was placed and established yesterday is a pending Eruv, an unfinished process, awaiting his tomorrow's decision, which will be implemented and applied and impact yesterday's Eruv. That's called Breira. To implement tomorrow's decision retroactively, that involves the halacha of Breira. And our Mishnah tells us, according to Rabbi Yudah, Breira is applied. It says, more or less, we must discount our Mishnah. Ein ikar. It's not reliable. Why? Midetani ayay. Since ayay taught us, hoyle ba'ashkecha masnisa tani ayay. Delav hachiyu. Because we found that there's a brisa which ayay taught, which contains a halacha, that according to Rabbi Yudah, Breira cannot work. You can't go ahead and create a process which is pending upon your decision of later, which will retroactively complete that unfinished process. You can't do that. Ayoy says, Rashi, shame chacha. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. 10 lines from the bottom. Omar Rav, lesser lemasnisim the Tani Ayoy, you must discount our Mishnah in face of the Braisa that Ayoy taught, the Tani Ayoy. Rabbi Doimer, ein other masne. One doesn't have the ability to make a double condition, a double stipulation at once, meaning he's going to place an Erev on either side of the city in preparation of two chachamim who might arrive and make that decision tomorrow, which will complete the process of the Erev. He can't do that because that requires Breira. Ella, what then can he do? He can place that double Erev, one on either side of the city, in preparation of one chacham's arrival. And he says like this, Imbo Chacham LeMizrach, if the Chacham comes to the Mizrach side, Eruv LeMizrach, so his Eruv, which was placed in that direction, will be activated. Imbo Chacham LeMarav, he comes to the Marav, Eruv LeMarav. So that he can do, because he's preparing only for one Chacham. Ava LeKana LeKanloi. But, to say, well, if two Chacham come, one on either side of the city, I'll make my decision tomorrow, decide which direction I'd like to go, which Chacham I prefer, and that Eruv should be activated retroactively, that he can't do. Because that involves Breira. Because the Erev is yet an unfinished Erev, it's awaiting tomorrow's decision, that doesn't work. Says for 1 second, what's the difference between one case and the other? It would appear that in both cases, Breira needs to be applied. Because in both situations, the Erev has not even been completed. Even if he prepares only for one Chacham. He says, well, if he comes to Mizrach, that one should work. To Marav, that one should work. He doesn't know as yet which direction the Chacham is going to come. So this Erev is just an initiation of the process and awaiting completion when the Chacham arrives. Why does that not involve Breira? Says Ramayishna, what's the difference? L'kan l'kan d'loy. He can't say, well, if the Chacham come both directions, I'm going to pick my choice. That doesn't work. They ain't Breira. L'mizrach l'marav nami. In the case of l'mizrach, in the case of l'marav, meaning there's one Chacham, just doesn't know which direction. In that case as well, ain't Breira. It shouldn't work because is an unfinished process, awaiting the Chacham's arrival. So why in that case does Ayah tell us that it works according to Rabbi Yudah? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, Kvar Bo Chacham. In the case of this single Chacham, you know what we're speaking about? The Chacham has already arrived prior to the onset of Shabbos. So when he prepared for that Chacham, he said, look, I'm placing an Erev on either side of the city, and this Chacham, wherever he'll arrive, whichever direction we're going to come from, that Erev should be implemented. And when that Chacham arrives prior to Shabbos, the Erev which is in that direction becomes activated. So during Ben Hashmoshes, which is the point in the time where the Erev needs to be activated, it's only one Erev That becomes activated. And the process has been completed and finished. It's not a pending Erev. The Chacham is already here. That's why it works. In contrast to the case where he places the two Erevs and stipulates, look, I'm preparing for two Chachamim. Perhaps two Chacham will arrive, and then I'll decide. I'll pick my choice, which one I prefer, and which Erev should work. That's an unfinished Erev. That process has yet to be completed and is awaiting his decision. It's tomorrow's decision, which must be applied retroactively. And that doesn't work. That requires Brira. Continues the Gemara. So Rav tells us that we must discount our Mishnah because of the Brisa of Ayah. Other Rav, just the opposite. Lessel of the Ayah, we must listen. Let's discount Ayah, which is only a Brisa. In view of our Mishnah, which teaches us otherwise. Our Mishnah is more reliable than a Brisa. You can't say that. Because we actually have another Mishnah, which indicates to us that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Breira, and therefore, that proves to us that Ayah's version of events is the correct version. So in summary, the Mishnah tells us a person can make a Tanai on his Erev. He places one in either direction of the city, one in the Mizrach, one in the Ma'arev, and he says, if the Chacham comes from the Mizrach, or he comes from the Ma'arev, the Erev in that direction should be activated. If two Chacham come one in either direction, the Mishnah tells us that we can apply the concept of Breira, and he can choose tomorrow which direction he'd like to go and which Erev should be activated retroactively. Ayah teaches that according to Rabbi Yehuda, this doesn't work because Breira can't be applied. And the Mishnah also tells us that part of his condition is, if no Chacham arrives, in this case, I don't need any of my Erevs, none of them should be activated, and I'd like to be like the other members of my city. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The Gemara discussed the halacha of Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a person who became Tamei de Rabbanon, and he had a suffix whether he was Tovel, would say he's Tamei. In contrast to our Mishnah, Rishi tells us the suffix Erev is kosher. The Gemara gives us three answers. Either Tumah is more stringent because there are some forms of Tumah that are in our Torah. Either, according to Rabbi Yossi himself, the suffix, even the Rabbanon will be Tamei. The Safek Erev wouldn't be good, but in the Mishnah, he was calling his Rebbe who holds Safek Erev's kosher. Rebbe tells us, the case of the Erev in our Mishnah involves a Chazaka that tells us we have reason to believe the Truma maintained its earlier status and is still tar. And therefore, Rashi says Safek Erev is kosher. In contrast with this person who is Tamei, who has a Cheskas Tuma. And we presume that that Cheskas Tuma continues throughout and the Tefillah was invalid. The Gemara tells Rabbi Yossi's halacha of Safek Erev kosher. It's only when there's a chazaka that tells us that it's probably fine. For instance, the Truma, when it was established for the Erev, was tar. We assume that situation continued. The Chulin was mutar. We assume it continued throughout Ben HaShemashis. The Gemara tells us, if a person has two loaves of bread of Truma, one is tummy, one is tar, he can't use that for his Erev because it's not Suda Ru'uya. He doesn't know which one's mutar. He has no real access, practical access to that food. A person took a loaf and he said, today it's Chayil and tomorrow on Shabbos should become Kaddish. That Erev works. Because the Kedusha only happens after Ben HaShemashes. But if he says, today it's Kaddish and tomorrow it's Chayil, in this case it doesn't work. Because the Kedusha is maintained throughout Ben HaShemashes. And therefore the Hekdash can't be used for the Erev, which is meant to be implemented during Ben HaShemashes. A person takes a pitcher, which is a Tful Yoyim, and has some Maserishin in there, which will turn into Truma at night. And he says, I want to use this as my Erev. It doesn't work. Rebbe explains because the Erev is meant to be chal at the first portion of Ben HaShemashes, which is still before it became Truma and edible. Rebbe says the reason is because the food of the Erev needs to be edible. In this case, since he doesn't know the exact moment when the wine would become edible, it's unsuitable for his Erev. We learned about a case where a person places a double Erev, one on either side of the city, makes it tonight. If the Goyim, or in the case of the Chacham, the Chacham comes from the Mizrach, I'd like to use that Erev. He comes from the Ma'arev, I'd like to use that Erev. That works. If two Chacham come, I'd like to make my choice. Ayah tells us, according to Abid, that doesn't work. And if nobody shows up, I'd like to be like the other members of my city. And my Tchum should extend 2,000 Amma from all directions of the city.